Thank you, worship team. It's a pleasure to be back at Westgate in our home church, in our sending church, in our church family. In fact, Vanessa and I have been waiting for this Sunday for a year and a half. Maximus is 18 months old. Belle was dedicated in our church family right here. Mary was dedicated in our church family. And once again, our home church, our sending church, our family has come alongside of us and committed with us to see the nurturing development and spiritual development of Maximus, our little Mexican. It's actually interesting because Maximus's last name is actually Yarbrojeski. Because he's Mexican, he has two last names. So his full name, poor kid, is Maximus Uriah Calvin Yarbrojeski. I mean, I don't know what psychological impact that's going to have on him in the future, but it's a pretty strong name, we think, from the outset. One of the things I wanted to share with you today, last week we looked at just the basic understanding of what we're doing when we head back to Mexico City. For those of you who are new to us or to this relationship, we are sent from Westgate Alliance Church and from the Christian Missionary Alliance in Canada to do church planting in Mexico City. We have spent the past 2.5 years learning Spanish, developing relationships, connections, moving into and praying into where God was leading us. God's brought along a church planting partner couple to plant with us. And so as we're doing a quick 2 months back in Canada to share with the churches the vision of the church plant that we will be starting in October when we head back. And so as we look into this, one of the main questions that that often comes up is, well, how do you plant a church? And that's a really big concept. I mean, when in our church planting endeavors, I went through a church planter's assessment process that took me 2.5 months working almost every day on it. I actually copied and pasted all of my questions and answers, and it came out to like 89 pages single space. You know, it was like, it's a big question and it's a big answer. However, I want to try to help you to understand a little bit of the basic building blocks of what it means to plant a church, because I think it has significant impact, not just for us in planting a church in Mexico City, but for Westgate Alliance Church as well. I mean, Westgate is an incredible church. I don't know if you know that, but Westgate is an incredible church. It was when we were on staff, and it continues to be an incredible church with the vision of seeing God's kingdom planted through local communities of faith around the world, both here in Saskatoon and around the world. You know, what we're doing with Arviat and what we have already done in Mexico City with Jonathan and Claudia, and what you're continuing to do through with us, and what you're already doing with the Indo-Canadians and with South Sudanese and with other peoples who need to hear the kingdom of God, who need people to come alongside of them and to say the kingdom of God is near. That's the legacy of Westgate Alliance Church, and it's incredible. Like, I actually get to brag on Westgate, you know, in like my church planter, like missionary circles. I'm like, yeah, but you should hear what Westgate's doing to impact the community. You should hear what Westgate's doing with, you know, with trying to develop other people groups and things like that. That's incredible. And so I want to help you to see just a little bit of the basic building blocks of what it takes to do church planting. So as we get into it, there's some basic understandings that we need to know. And number one is that Jesus invites us to follow him, and then he says that he will make us fishers of men. And this is early on in Jesus' ministry in Matthew and Mark. He's just recruiting his core disciples, his 12 that he's going to that are going to follow him around to do and to model what he does. And so he's going to train them in the basic understandings of what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And then he's going to send them out to say, hey, go do what you have seen me done. As you have seen me cast out spirits, go cast out spirits. As you have seen me preach the good news of the kingdom, go preach the good news of the kingdom. And so Jesus invites us to be disciples of Jesus. And so, I mean, this may be lost on some people, but the basic building block of planting a church are peoples who have an identity of being followers of Jesus Christ, being disciples of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that gets lost because oftentimes our churches reflect more of the Pharisees and religion than they do the followers of Jesus Christ. And I want to clarify this. Right, we can know a lot of stuff about the Bible. We can do a lot of good things. But if we don't have the gospel permeating our hearts, if we don't have the gospel saturating our conversations, we're not followers or disciples of Jesus. We're Pharisees. We're religious people that do good. And because we do good, we think we're right with God. And so Jesus invites these people in a Jewish context who have the understanding, if you do this and you do this and you do this and you do this, then you're good with God. And he invites these people into a relationship with himself and says, the kingdom of God is about me. Yes, because you love me, you're going to greatly love others. Because I have been generous with you, you're going to be extremely generous with others. You know, because I have greatly forgiven you of your sins, you're going to greatly forgive others, even those who stab you in the back. That's the disciple of Jesus. And so he invites them into this relationship and says, hey, come walk with me. Come model what I'm doing. And so then the rest of the Gospels proclaim that. We see them following Jesus around like a pack of puppies. You know, and so they see Jesus praying, and Jesus would wake up early in the morning and he would go up to the mountaintop and he would spend time with the Father, because Jesus did nothing except what he heard from the Father. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples come and go, hey, we're trying this stuff, but we don't have the same power. You know, the Pharisees and the irreligious say, you preach with power and anointing. We're not getting it. And so Jesus teaches them how to pray. Jesus teaches them what the kingdom of God is all about. And so they follow. So their identity, the identity of a church planter, the identity of a church that wants to plant churches and make an impact, number one, is followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. And so my biggest heart and my biggest prayer in church planting is, oh God, renew the gospel in me every day. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but I sin a lot. And so I need to wake up every day and say, oh God, forgive me. Renew your gospel in me. Help me to see that because of what Jesus has done by his death and resurrection, and I'm accepted into that with his perfect record, that then I can go out into the world and share that same grace and love and mercy with others. That's what I need. I need to preach the gospel to myself every single day before I even start down the church planting path. And oftentimes, I think it's a lot easier for church planters than it is for established congregations. Because oftentimes, established congregations get into a slump or they get into a rhythm where it's just easy to do church, and they forget that they need the gospel just as much as the irreligious. But we all need the gospel every day. We all need to wake up with the gospel permeating our minds and saying, oh God, thank you. Now God, show me who the gospel needs to impact today. That's number one, the basic building block of church planting, the basic building block, I would say, of any church, is disciples of Jesus. And then obviously, Jesus puts them onto a mission. So a disciple of Jesus makes disciple makers. As Jesus is making his disciples with the 12 and he's gathering others like the 72 that he sent out, by the time Pentecost comes around, there's 120 praying in the upper room, you know, and then the Holy Spirit pours itself out and then the church explodes to like 5,000. You know, it's incredible. But he sends them on a mission that as you are a disciple of me, go and do what I have done with you. That's church growth. As you are being discipled by Jesus, go and do what you have done. As you are being discipled by, you know, by your leadership in your local church, go and do what has been done with you. You know, that's why Paul can say, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, guys, I'm being discipled by Jesus, and so I'm going to disciple you into what I'm being discipled by Jesus to do. And so Jesus leaves us with this idea that building a church and church growth and planting a church are essentially all the same things, that as we're disciples of Jesus, we're making disciples to do everything that Jesus taught and did. And so he releases us into that as we continue to grow in Christ, that we bring others along with us to grow in Christ as well. And this isn't for the paid professionals. Please hear this. Because Jesus went out and didn't get the super smart Pharisees. Jesus went out and he didn't go and go, man, like you memorized all of the Old Testament. Yeah, you'd be a good one. Jesus went out to the blue collar. Jesus went out to the despised. Jesus went out to those who had no position in life so that through their weakness, God could be made strong. And they still had influence because of the power of the Holy Spirit, which was taught to them by Jesus Christ. And so Jesus makes this incredible statement in John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, everything I have done and greater, you will be able to do everything that I have done and greater. And you, if you stop to think about that, and especially in the context of who he's speaking to, like his disciples, they've been walking around with Jesus for a little bit, and they're seeing, yeah, but Jesus, like that blind guy, you made him see. You know, you remember that Lazarus guy? He was a good friend of ours. You know, he made the really good meat pies. Yeah, you rose him from the dead. Like, you're saying that we're going to do even greater than you? Man, how is this possible? Well, it's possible because discipleship is done in community on mission. You're like, Bear, that's a pretty long leap from that passage. But hear me out here. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his community that he has invited around himself. And he speaks this to them. And they're not getting it yet, but they will. Because as they continue to follow Jesus, as they continue to be disciples of Jesus, and as Jesus continues to teach them what they need to know, to train them, and then to release them to try it, and they come back and, wow, even the demons, we had power over even the demons. And Jesus is like, I know. And, you know, and so they do this back and forth. And then eventually it gets to the point where Jesus releases them to do it on their own. And he says, guys, wait and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reality of this is right after this John 14 passage, Jesus promises that it's actually better that I go to the Father because I'm going to send another to help you. That's incredible. It's actually better that Jesus leaves them because he's going to send the Holy Spirit to empower them. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is now going to indwell his disciples to do even greater things. And so we see this. I mean, this is the book of Acts. You know, we get to Acts and we see the guys and they're kind of cowering and they're huddling in the upper room. I read the Jesus Storybook Bible to our girls most nights, and it's actually funny when we get to this point, like the upper room is really dark. You know, everybody's like kind of cowering and hiding, and you know, it's super like depressing when we get to that point. You know, and yet the next page, it's Peter breaking out the doors because the flames of fire of the Holy Spirit have come upon them. And Peter starts preaching the good news of the kingdom of God because of what Jesus Christ has done in dying and rising again. And people are hearing Peter preach in their own languages. So now we're like going back to the Tower of Babel, who think they could exist without God, and God separates them and confuses their languages. And now all that's being fulfilled and come together in Pentecost and saying, look, this gospel is for the nations. And so the nations are hearing the gospel in their own language. 3,000 come to faith in Christ, and then miracles start exploding, like to the point where they're taking handkerchiefs and shadows are healing people. And you go, well, I don't see Jesus doing that. You're right. Because Jesus said, I'm going to disciple you, and then you're going to do greater things. Because you have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in me, empowering me to do my ministry, but I'm just one man. Now my body, the church of God, is going to saturate the earth with the gospel in my presence, doing even greater things than I could have ever done. That's incredible to think about that. And we're a part of that. As disciples of Jesus Christ, in community of Westgate Alliance Church, on mission to the Indo-Canadians and to the new Canadians here and to the people in the Inuits in Arviat and to the Mexican professionals in Mexico City and to the diaspora Chinese in Mexico City and to the ends of the earth through the Christian Missionary Alliance. We're a part of that. So as we have our identity as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are in a community of disciples of Jesus Christ on mission to the ends of the earth. And then we have people of peace. And I talked about this a little bit last week, of these people of peace. And God's given us incredible stories of identifying people of peace. And people of peace are simply, I take it from the passage of Luke 10, as well as others do. And it's these people who God has already been preparing to receive you and to receive your message. To receive you and to receive your message. God is already at work because God is sovereign. God is already at work because he desires that none should perish but all come to repentance and faith. And so first of all, I want you to see a greater vision of evangelism in this. All right? This is the basic building blocks of church planting. This is the basic building blocks of Westgate continuing to have an impact in Saskatoon and around the world. It's people identifying themselves as disciples of Jesus, passionate for the gospel every single day, who have a mission, and they gather with other disciples of Jesus Christ to be on that mission to people around them. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, they're praying as they go out into their workplaces, as they go out into the parks, as they go out camping, as they become regulars at coffee shops and restaurants. Oh God, show me the people of peace that you're already preparing. And then you hit it off with somebody, you know, like a barista. You know, there's a, where close to Bella Mary School, there's a Starbucks there down from the park. And so because I would have to take the girls to school, I would just put in office hours at the Starbucks because there's free Wi-Fi and there's really good coffee and different things like that. And it's quiet. And so I would put in office hours at the Starbucks. And occasionally I would run into Rick. And Rick was one of the baristas, you know, and it started out as a relationship of, hey, you know, I would like my, you know, venti half sweet caramel macchiato, and, you know, that's our relationship. You know, thank you, have a great day, you know. And eventually I started asking questions about Rick because he was there almost all the time when I was there. And so I'd ask questions about Rick. Hey, Rick, you know, are you in school? You know, you're kind of young. Okay, yep, you're still in school, you're studying this. Oh, that's really cool. And so eventually he noticed that I kept coming, you know, and putting in office hours at this Starbucks. And so eventually he started asking questions of, you know, man, what are you doing here? Why do you keep, you know, putting in these office hours? And so I would tell him, well, I'm studying Spanish right now. And then eventually I would leave, you know, a book that I was reading about church planting, you know, on my table while I'm drinking my coffee, and be like, oh, that's a neat title. You know, what's that about? And so I get to explain a little bit about church planting, what that means. And eventually, you know, this led to me telling Rick about the gospel, you know, and Rick hasn't come to faith in Christ, you know, but this would be a person of peace, somebody who I've become a regular with, who we start to invest into each other's life through questions, natural questions, and then eventually we have spiritual conversations that lead to the gospel. That's church planting. That's church growth for Westgate. It's disciples of Jesus being intentional in community and on mission. And so obviously, we go to the great passage, the Great Commission. So if you have your Bibles, you can flip with me to Matthew chapter 28. And I want to start in verse 16. Or if you have your phones, you can open your app, you know, to Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. And hopefully today you hear something that resonates with you. And so first of all, I need to reiterate that disciples are disciple makers. And so let's read the passage. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so first and foremost, catch verse 16. Who is Jesus saying this to? His disciples. Now the 11 disciples. And so this is at the end of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is about to fly like Superman into the clouds. And at this point, he's done discipling his disciples. Now that will continue with his presence through the Holy Spirit as they continue to flesh out what this new church thing looks like. But at this point in the flesh, Jesus is done discipling his 12, at this point 11, because Judas went off the rails, in what it looks like to live the kingdom of God, to be a disciple of Jesus, and then to make disciples. And so these disciples have the greater understanding of about 3 years of watching Jesus, following Jesus, listening to Jesus, and being disciples under Jesus. And church, we need the same thing. This is why it's so important that we start in church planting with being disciples of Jesus ourselves. This is why it's so important that we start in church growth with being disciples ourselves. We need to disciple ourselves under Jesus. And then we also see that there's obedience, but catch this, it's with doubt. This is incredible to me. I mean, verse 16 and 17. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Like catch the significance of this. These guys have been walking with Jesus for about 3 years. They've seen Jesus do incredible things, these miracles. You know, Jesus walking along and then he spits in a guy's eye and he can see again. Like that's cool stuff. You know, or Jesus is like teaching and people are starting to get hungry and then there's no food because you know, nobody thought to pack a lunch or a McDonald's. And so Jesus takes this little boy's bread, the weak things of this world, and multiplies it so that everybody's fed. Like, Jesus did some really cool stuff. And then to top it off, like, Jesus proclaimed that he was going to die. He actually died. His disciples were really depressed. And then he rose from the grave. Like that captures the heart and the imagination of the disciples for the rest of the Bible. I mean, that's the thing that captures our heart today, is it not? This is the gospel that captures us and that goes, Jesus rose from the grave. Like, there's nothing greater than that. This is our good news. And so we have this, and some doubt it. And yet, if I'm honest with myself, there's many days where I can understand the concepts of the gospel and what Jesus did, and yet I still have a lot of doubt and fear about talking with Rick. I can understand the significant spiritual impact of what Jesus did on the cross. I can feel it. And yet, I can still have doubts and fears. And the great thing about that, the good news about that, is Jesus is okay with that. Jesus is okay with that. You don't have to have it all together. Because if you think you have it all together, then you've missed the gospel again. We are sinners who have doubts and fears, and yet Jesus, regardless of ourselves, entered into humanity, died our death that we should have died, rose again, defeating death, so that we can't save ourselves, but Jesus had to, and he was glad to. And so he takes a ragamuffin bunch of people and says, you know what? You're not strong. You're not smart. You're not eloquent. You're not the best. You're not perfect. But I am. So I'm going to give you this mission anyways. That's good news for us. Just because I may have sinned last night doesn't mean that I am void of God's mercy or grace. And more than that, it doesn't mean that I'm not still being used by God for who he's already prepared to receive me and to receive his message. That's incredible news, an incredible motivation for us to continue on. And so real quick, I want to really go through this. And so then Jesus gives us the confidence. He says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. When you go out in your doubts and fears, it's not your authority, it's not your eloquence, it's not your smarts to argue the better Jesus. It's my authority, because all authority has been given to me, Jesus says. And so we go in his authority. That gives us a boldness to proclaim the good news that is foolishness for those who do not believe according to the scriptures. That gives us a boldness that we don't have to have the answers right, but we need to have Jesus right in ourselves and then for others. And so then he says, the command is given, go therefore and make disciples. The command in this passage is make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. So disciples of Jesus are, by command and definition, disciple makers. If you're not making disciples, you need the gospel to realize that I'm not living in obedience to Christ. And so I need Jesus to warm my heart to his good news, so that I'm passionate about Jesus and then I'm passionate for others to know Jesus as well. You need the gospel. And so make disciples. And then the method is given. How do we make these disciples? Well, we teach them, we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We get them to identify that follow me piece, that identity piece, I'm a child of God piece, to identify with Jesus Christ as a disciple of him, and then to teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. We teach them as Jesus taught, who gave them the understanding, but he also released them to try it. And then he reviewed with them. And then he taught them some more and trained them some more. And then he released them again to go try it again. And sometimes they failed, you know, and then Jesus had to come and clean up their mess. And it was okay because they were still disciples and Jesus still loved them. And Jesus still gave them the commission to continue. And so I developed this when I was here at Westgate. This is just a very simple tool that I've developed and that we're continuing to push out in our church plant and with our groups and with our individuals. And so the basic premise of this is as you identify people of peace that God has already prepared to receive you and to receive his message, then you put their name, no more than three, because Jesus did 12 and he lost one, so I'm pretty good with just staying with three. And so you put three in the pray section, and you just pray for them every single day. It's amazing. If you're praying for somebody every single day, how many times you actually run into them. It's incredible how many times you actually notice them, you know? You know, you don't just flip past them on the Facebook feed, you know? You're like, oh, I've been praying for that guy. What's going on? You know, he posted another cat picture. Yay. You know, and so he does the pray thing, you know, and then as you start to have spiritual conversations with this person of peace, then you move them to pursue. And so you're pursuing them with different things. Invite them to a barbecue. Find intentional ways to get into their life. You know, invite them out to Sunday lunch with you. You know, if you like going to the Golden Pagoda, then invite people along, these people of peace, you know, and eat really good Golden Pagoda food and, you know, and have spiritual conversations. You know, and then as the spiritual conversations as the gospel starts to be included in those spiritual conversations and they're being exposed to the gospel because you're inviting them into your circle of friends of disciples of Jesus, and you have that gospel conversation with an invitation for them to be disciples of Jesus Christ as well, then you move them to persuade. And what do we want to persuade them to? We want them persuade them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, Savior, and treasure. We want the gospel to permeate them so that they go from death to life, like the gospel says it will do for people. And then we want them to belong to a local church. That's super important because that's where they're discipled in community so that they can be on mission in community together, continuing to obey and fulfill what Christ started in his body. And then we want them to commit to the mission themselves, so they start doing it as well. And so they identify people of peace in their life, and they put three more in. And this continues so that disciples are making disciples that make disciples. And as these disciples gather together, guess what? That's called the church. You just planted a church. That's the basic building block. Disciples making disciples that make disciples who gather together to be on mission. That's the church. That's a church plant. And so making disciples here into the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8, you know, Jesus tells them that that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my disciples. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Westgate's doing it. Westgate's doing it. You're impacting the community here in Saskatoon. You're Judea, Samaria. You're impacting the Inuit people in Nunavut and to the ends of the earth in Mexico City. And with other new Canadians as they flood into Saskatoon as well. And so the reality is we are disciple-making extensions of Westgate Alliance Church. We're disciple-making extensions of Westgate Alliance Church, but we need a community of faith here that's doing it as well, so that the kingdom of God just isn't growing in Mexico City. We need the kingdom of God to grow here in Saskatoon as well, so that as we grow together, we saturate and fill the earth with the presence of God. And then through our Seamless Link, we can be a part of completing our Great Commission task, both here and abroad, together. Matthew 24:14 captured the imagination of A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And it's, this gospel will be proclaimed in all the earth, and then the end will come. That's our task. That's our mission as disciples of Jesus, gathering together in community on mission to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. And so in our Seamless Link, this is why we do what we do. This is why there's persistent and reciprocal prayer. This is why there's intentional and generous giving. And this is why there's strategic and discipling on-site visits. It's so that we can continue to fulfill the mission that God has given us. And we praise God that we get to do it with a family like Westgate Alliance Church. But as we look to take communion this morning, I would be remiss if I didn't emphasize once again that it starts with disciples of Jesus who are passionate and captivated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't have the gospel so filling your head and your mind that you can't help but speak it, then I pray that you would take time this morning to examine yourself and to pray, oh God, revive my heart. Oh God, renew the gospel in me so that I can be a disciple of Jesus on mission with other disciples of Jesus. I'm going to invite Pastor Frank back up.
Thank you, Bear. I was thinking not to make light.